CPS Wednesday.
We have so many cool, diverse people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different upbringings, and it just keeps growing.
I'm a citizen of the United States.
I'm a hustler.
I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
I'm the queen of the tribe. I'm a
survivor. I am playing whatever role I gotta play.
I'm gonna play this game full speed.
I ain't going down like no punk.
A new Survivor, Wednesday on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to The Survivor Brothers, your ultimate unofficial podcast from your friends at TV Guide. I'm your Survivor-obsessed host, Fox Van Allen, and joining me today is my co-host. A lot of people think he's just smart and funny and pretty, but he's actually really creative. It's Mr. Lance Cartelli. Hello, Lance.
Hey, Fox. It's the nicest thing you've ever said to me.
Right? You're a very talented guy. Can you design me an outfit?
I've already did, just while you were introing me.
Oh, fantastic. Fantastic. I can't wait to see it, but I already know my pants are going to sell way faster. Lance.
It's true.
We had a Tony episode on Survivor this week. I cannot tell you how excited I am that we have a Tony episode.
Did we get a Tony episode, we got the best episode of the season, thanks to the most entertaining Survivor.
I gotta say, I agree. It was fantastic from start to finish. But before we get into this, the Tony madness, the Vlachos of it all, I got some egg on my face. I think we both do here, Lance, a little bit of egg on our face, because the top headline here, aside from Tony's ridiculously amazing day, is that Sophie's gone. Sophie was my winner pick here, and I was convinced, like, right up until she went home, that she was going to win this whole damn thing.
Yeah, there was a point in this episode where I'm like, oh no, Sophie's actually going home, and then it happened and stuff. But yeah, I really think we're the ones that doomed her. We were talking her up the whole season, pretty much saying how she almost can't lose and stuff, and how she's destined to win, and we definitely screwed her over.
Yeah, I feel like I was waiting for this whole thing to fall. Like, I knew what Tony was up to, but it's not really going to work, is it? And then it works, and oh my goodness, it's a heck of an episode. So we're going to talk about all of it today, right? We're gonna break down and discuss that crazy vote. We're going to talk about the edge of extinction and the extortion advantage or disadvantage that seemed to make it all possible for Tony. And we'll also discuss who the heck is going to win now, since Sophie, the person that we thought was going to win the game, is no longer in it. Of course, she could come back. There's always the edge of extinction. Someone has
Absolutely.
To come back. So it very well could be her, and she could very well win, and we could very well not have egg on our face, I guess. But enough about that for now. Let's get into this Tony madness, Lance, because we've been talking all season about Tony and just showing off this masterful Survivor gameplay, just kind of like telling people how to play the game and keeping it that slow and a quiet game. And all of a sudden here, Tony goes crazy, and it's absolutely fantastic. Everything works out for Tony in the end somehow. And I think that's the most unbelievable part about it, right? That everything works out.
Yeah, that is absolutely the most unbelievable part. There's so many parts throughout the entire episode where you're just like, okay, it's over for Tony. It's just going to all crumble. And then everything just works out, and I just can't believe it. And once you hit a point where it's like, okay, this is really just the ultimate Tony episode. This is him reaching his peak, him going full Michael Jordan. And so you just got to sit back and just enjoy it.
Yeah, yeah. So let's try to unpack a little bit more about this vote here, the 4-3-2, and why it's just so darn brilliant here, right? So last week, you know, if we're coming back to Tribal Council from last week, we've got a group of five that Tony's a part of against a group of four. But Tony has been putting in work here, trying to convince this group of four, this is Jeremy and Michelle and Kim and Denise, that he's one of them. He's undercover. Which is, first of all, love Tony undercover. And I feel like I am very surprised that it is Jeremy who kind of says, like, I really believe this guy. Like, this guy, he is all straight up, because nothing about what went on and Tyson going home seems to suggest that Tony is one of them, right?
That's what was so confusing and amazing in the same point, is that, like, why are people helping Tony? Why are people trusting Tony? Have they never seen him play? These are winners playing. And it's just unbelievable. But it also shows how good of a job Tony's done at getting people to trust him despite all of that. And for Jeremy just to not see that that's what was happening just adds to Tony's great play. And then it gives Kim, you know, you got to give Kim some credit just because she, you know, sees right through it. She's like the one person that understands it.
Oh, absolutely. And it really seems like Kim and Denise together kind of like figure out like, okay, this is not legit. And I think a good part of it is because Jeremy was not there at Tribal Council. Jeremy did not see the, okay, well, why don't the five of us just make a decision? The whole, like, the exact breakdown of it all. And Tony kind of gets away with telling Jeremy his version of what happened, which is not, you know, it's not entirely, you know, a lie by omission, perhaps, about what goes on. But it's really surprising that Jeremy believes Tony. And perhaps if Jeremy was smart enough or skilled here enough or whatever you want to call it to pick up on Tony being a liar here and really just playing him, Jeremy probably wouldn't have saved himself in that final moment when Tony came to him with that last minute plan.
That's right.
Yeah. So Tony is doing a surprisingly good job of going undercover, at least convincing Jeremy and Michelle of it. Mm-hmm. And that really just kind of breaks up this four-person alliance because the Kim and, like you're saying, Kim and Denise see through it, and they decide their best shot here is they don't want to get played by Tony again, so they join the majority. And they,
what a bad time to flip for Kim, who we really like what Kim's done and stuff, but she is just making these missteps all over, and it's just so funny that the one time she decides to flip on that group is the worst time to flip.
Yeah, I mean, I don't 100% hate the idea. You know, in most situations here, it's probably going to be the right move.
I totally understand it.
You can buy yourself, you know, two more votes down the line. You know, you're in trouble. But Tony is the wild card here, man. Tony is the absolute wild card, and when Tony's in the mix, you can't trust anything. Could go crazy at any point here. What did you think? I thought there was this really, one of my favorite Kim and Denise moments there was that moment after they talked to Jeremy, right? Cause they pitched Jeremy a plan, and their plan is to vote out Ben. And apparently Jeremy does not like Ben.
Does anybody like Ben?
That's
one of my most underrated storylines of the season is nobody likes Ben.
Yeah. Yeah. See, Adam had some issues and Jeremy had some issues and
Boston Rob.
Yeah, if only they could all have gotten together and just figured that out. That Ben's the one they don't like. Jeremy's on board with this fake Ben plan, but like the moment that I'm talking about is like after Jeremy leaves and like Kim and Denise are just like so cold, like, you know, we got to do it. We got to do what we got to do. Just talking about
how
completely and totally lied to Jeremy.
Yeah, what's weird is it's Kim who kind of looks like she's kind of regretting the decision and is like emotional about it. And Denise is the one kind of like, hey, this is the thing we have to do. When Kim was the one, at least the way they positioned it as her, as she's the one that was flipping on everybody too. So I thought that was an interesting like edit and way to like perspective to look at it.
Yeah. I feel like Kim is playing it like very thoughtfully. Not to say that Denise isn't, but like Denise just looks like she's having a lot more fun, and Denise is ready to just take a swing at the bat no matter what. And you know, Denise is on the bottom, but like she's not going to act like she's on the bottom, even though she knows that she's on the bottom. And I love both of them. And I mean, honestly, like, I don't know that what happened here is the worst for their games. I mean, I think it hurts a lot more people. A lot worse than they get hurt here.
I think they're in a pretty not terrible spot. I think Jeremy's a big winner out of all this, which is kind of funny to say.
Yeah.
It's crazy how at the beginning of the episode, everyone is just big mad at him. And it's like everyone turned on him and stuff. But all he needed was, this is why you do it, because you just need that buy yourself a week. And these people bubble to the top. Tony, you know, makes his move. And now Tony's just such a huge threat. And Jeremy's on the back burner now.
That's the fakest kind of Survivor upset, by the way. It's like, I think that would be the thing that would drive me crazy. That people are mad at you because you did something to save yourself and keep them doing what they wanted.
Every single other person would have done the same thing if they knew they were going home.
Of course. It's like when Jeremy wants to know, asking Tony, like, who's in on it. It's like everybody. Every single person is in on it.
That conversation really, that's where I was like, I got up out of my seat and I just wanted to shake Jeremy. I was like, just believe Tony. I know how weird this sounds, but believe him. And honestly, I don't blame Jeremy like at all for being apprehensive about Tony.
Yeah.
But it was all the pleading and everything that Tony did that I'm guessing is what kind of finally like pushed him over the top and stuff. But it was a nice job. Really great episode for the editors because you really don't know where they're going. You don't know if you can trust these people. It's just, it made Tribal, which was a very chill Tribal, it still made it very interesting.
Yeah. I feel like once, Tony pitches this plan to Jeremy, like Jeremy's entire demeanor just like changes, right? Like it's like such a, like, it's like this serious, like, Jeremy that we get, like, even down to Tribal Council when he's like looking at Ben, like it's just like such a different tone. And I think part of it is just because like he understands like what a terrible position he is in, even though he is being saved here, right?
Yeah, and he just has the right demeanor and personality to be at the bottom and still know kind of how to move and everything and not piss people off and stuff. But I definitely, to go off your point, I think him giving the stink eye to Ben after every single vote was one of my favorite parts of the whole episode. Even though it's a Tony episode, we have some really great Jeremy moments too.
It was great. I love the, because they were, it was the same look, but it was two different, like, Ben got two different, it's like the look first, when the votes come Jeremy's way, it's like, yeah, that's what you did, huh? And then the votes start going Sophie's way, and then all of a sudden, it's the same, you know?
Same thing. And I think, and Jeremy loves it obviously because he's staying, and it's also like confirms that his hate for Ben. It's like, okay, I am right to hate this guy.
Yeah, I mean, you can't blame him. I mean, it's the guy just tried to vote you out.
Yep.
It's, you try not to keep things make things personal, you know, but you spend 39 days on an island with someone, you're gonna find things to not like about them, I guess.
Absolutely. And if somebody doesn't want to work with you and every time you try to, you're gonna get annoyed with that person. If, you know, in my fantasy football league, if I'm sending a trade offer to somebody and they don't ever want to trade with me, I'm gonna get annoyed with them.
Okay. I've got one more question here about this crazy Tony alliance here. And that's the fourth person in this alliance, because it's Jeremy and Michelle make total sense because they're on the bottom, right? But the fourth person here is evil vampire Donathan Nick here is the fourth. And it sure seems like Nick's ready to go. Like Tony pitches him and it does not take a lot of work.
It's like a 3 second pause.
But like, you know, these converse, like Tony said, like he's waiting until right before they go to Tribal to make sure that these conversations are quick. The quicker they are, the more likely they are to happen. Right. So, I mean, Nick's got to make a decision in that moment. But I got to say, like, I'm surprised it was this easy.
Nick just seems like a guy, he just wants to play. And I think he really likes being along for the ride. But to me, Nick is kind of feeling like everyone that was on Ewell's tribe during his season, he's just helping Tony win. He's just doing everything he can. Like in the beginning, he makes that mistake of trusting Tony and letting him look all by himself and stuff.
Oh, that was another fantastic Tony moment. Yep.
A great Tony moment. And then Nick just helps him. Like Nick just feels like he just wants third place and zero votes at the end. You know, he wants to ride with Tony to the end and be fine with just being one of the final three.
Yeah, I don't. I get the feeling that Nick is probably going to end his game a little bit before the final three.
Yeah,
he really seems to be fitting into this comic relief kind of slot.
Yep.
Here. I don't know if you caught all the great. I mean, aside from the evil vampire Donathan aside, which is just fantastic. I love that. But even I don't know if you caught that moment where there's just like a short little clip of him just like smelling himself.
Yeah,
like, it's just like we get so many like random Nick moments, and they're all just fantastic. I mean, I love him, but like there are not like super strategic moments that they are showing us.
Yeah, I really did love the moment where it's like, oh, I got to think about this for a second, and then like a split second later, yeah, I'm in, and Tony's just like so surprised.
It's a tough one. All right,
but that's the kind of person that Tony will use and abuse and just chew up and spit out. You know, like that's just too easy for him.
Yeah. What Tony did here, like the waiting until the last minute. Now, this is actually supposedly a very popular strategy on Survivor. A lot of times, things will happen right before Tribal, for the reason that like the last thing that happens is the last thing that happens. Like you can't.
Yeah, it's the last
have
word.
Another and conversation I after the last conversation. That's why, you know. And then you know we have all these you know discussions that pop up at Tribal as well, but. It was just so great on Tony, but absolutely flawless execution.
Timing is everything in Survivor, and you see it all the time when people mistime their blindsides and stuff, or maybe they go too early, like, hey, I want to go after this person, then their name gets brought up. It just makes way too much sense to have that last word, especially when the game is so chaotic and nobody really knows what's going on, just be that last voice inside their head, and it obviously works out.
And I mean, I don't know, and maybe you can tell me what you think this means for Nick's game, but as far as like Tony, when he is trying to see who is going to go along with this plan, I mean, I think for sure, like Nick is the person who is most likely to go along with this plan. I mean, even Denise and Kim, like Nick is the person most likely to go along with this plan. And I just, Nick seems to be up for anything. He was, you know, in trouble a couple cycles ago, so to speak, but, and that just, he's wants to do something and he does something.
Yeah. I mean, you could tell he was frustrated that things weren't happening. So I definitely think you're right. And I think he just wants to be a part of a plan, you know? And so he's doing what he can to survive. We obviously don't think he's going to win, but he's at least bringing something to the game too. And he is comic relief. He does have nice teeth too. It's good for him.
That is true. Do you think it was a good move for him?
Yeah, that's a resume builder for him just in case he does get to the end.
Yeah.
He was just not doing much. So whatever you can do to help yourself out in the game. And I definitely think for him, he's kind of doing the Jeremy thing where he's got all these meat shields now. He's got Jeremy, he's got Ben, and he's got Tony now that are just way bigger threats than him. So I really do think, unless it's like one of those things like, hey, this guy could get to the end and win, I just think he's just going to be along for the ride.
Yeah, I mean, I do think that he is going to make it through the next few tribal councils. I think if you're, no matter who you are in the game, there is someone you want to take out a lot more than Nick. And probably two people that you would like to take out more than Nick. I think, you know, I don't hate the move for him. I don't know that it does a lot for his resume because it's so clearly Tony's move. And
oh, absolutely.
Even if Tony's not there with him at that final tribal council, I mean, Tony will say it. Jeremy would say it. Michelle would probably say it. It's not his move. He was just there. He was the woo in that move. It's like,
oh, yeah, 100%.
Tony made a lot of big moves that Woo was a part of and only Woo was a part of. But like, Wu didn't get credit for that because Wu didn't deserve credit for that. Nick doesn't really deserve a lot of credit for this, but he does deserve some credit.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. So my thinking is just, do you have zero things on your resume or like this one line at the bottom of your resume? And that minuscule thing is still better than nothing for him.
Yep, you got to bring something. All right.
Yeah.
So we've got a lot more to talk about. I really want to get into the rest of the Tony story here. We talked about Tribal, but I want to talk about that extortion advantage because this is, again, absolute peak Tony. So we're gonna head to the edge of extinction. We're gonna give you a Survivor business report. We'll talk about the immunity challenge. We're gonna get into all of it, and we're gonna do that right after this.
Exclusively on Paramount Plus. Get ready.
Vamanos!
To explore like never before.
Swiper, no swiping!
Oh, man!
Swing into action.
We need your help.
Woohoo!
Yay!
With a girl who put adventure on the map.
I don't think I can do it, Doral. I'll protect you, Boots. Together, we got this.
Todos juntos!
Yay!
Dora, the brand new series. Stream with your family now, exclusively on Paramount Plus.
Okay, Lance, hello, and we are back, and I know it's your favorite segment, Lance. We are here with another dramatic, exciting Survivor business report.
Well, this is the episode that you need this business. This is why you've done it for so long. Like, I felt like I was very well informed with all this stuff going on because of your business reports.
It's crazy. Everybody's getting stimulus checks. Gas or oil is -$ a barrel, and all of a sudden inflation wreaks havoc on the edge of extinction and the Survivor game. I love this advantage. This is I was not expecting an advantage like this. It's not really an advantage for anybody but Natalie and Parvati, who randomly stumble across a clue here. I love everything about this advantage. What do you think? First of all, what do you think about this advantage, this extortion idea?
Not only is it an amazing idea, it is one of the best advantages or like types of advantage, disadvantage that I've seen in this game. It was brilliant. I loved it. I was waiting for something like this to happen, and I was wondering if they would get more creative with it, because it feels like it's just an evolution of the Island of the Idols kind of thing, and now this. Like, it was brilliant, and they picked the perfect person. Just felt like the perfect storm. Like, Parvati's too smart not to give it to Tony. Tony is so desperate that he's the absolute perfect person to give it to. And it's just a combination of everything that just makes this perfect.
Yeah. Even that edit when Parvati is talking about, like, who makes where this makes the most sense to send it, right? It's got to be someone who's causing chaos and would be willing to pay any price. And 100%, it's a fantastic read. Tony is all of those things. He will stop at nothing to get those tokens. I thought it was absolutely so. Natalie and Parvati, I guess they find the advantage together. I don't know if they're sharing the reward here, if they're going to split it 3-3. But I thought it was gutsy as hell to set that price at 6.
It was gutsy as hell. And then I was watching and I was like, damn, Parvati just is always in the right position with these advantages.
Yeah.
And I felt a little bad for Natalie because it's like, okay, you got to share this thing. But when you see what they had to do, that is a two-person thing at the minimum. So it actually worked out for them.
Yeah, I mean, I don't hate the idea of making alliances and working with people at Edge of Extinction. I mean, yes, you're going to compete against them at a challenge somewhere, but if you get back in the game, like, they're all jury members. And if you're working your alliance on Edge of Extinction, they're going to vote for you. You'd vote for them. They're going to vote for you. I love it.
I actually have a hot take on this. I really feel like the editors are giving us some foreshadowing. We're getting a lot of Parvati on Edge of Extinction. She's getting a lot of, you know, she's becoming a bajillionaire, trillionaire, whatever you want to call it. I think she comes back. That is who I'm picking to come back whenever they do that for the second person to come back from Edge of Extinction.
Yeah, Parvati, you would assume, is really rich at this point. I can't really give you a accurate breakdown of who has what tokens, because there are a few question marks here. I don't know how those got split. I don't know. Tony suggested he was going to pay people back. I don't know who he paid back, if he did. You know, a lot of question marks here. But for sure, Parvati's got to be the rich beyond belief here.
Yeah, and it's just, it feels like they're giving us those little breadcrumbs, like, hey, or maybe it's just because everyone loves Parvati and wants her to come back too. But I just feel like that's something they might be hinting towards.
Yeah, that is a crazy amount of peanut butter they have access to right now.
yep.
So the extortion advantage was that unless Tony pays his 6 tokens, right, he can't vote and he can't win immunity. And I guess they did some math and probably figured that Tony has a handful of tokens here.
Yep.
I might have set the price at like 4 or 5. Like, I know he'll, like, no problem getting 1, but I thought it was real gutsy to, like, have him have to go out there and get 3, but he does. And I'm marveling at the fact that all these people are giving him tokens. I'm not surprised.
Why are people helping Tony?
But it's like,
I'm going to keep asking this question.
People who are working against each other are coming together to help Tony out.
It makes no sense. Like, they've never seen him play. But I just want to go through how the pure comedy of him when he got the advantage, him running and then falling, was amazing. Then he has that childlike joy, you know, Christmas morning joy to see the word extortion. He just freaks out over extortion, only to realize that it's being played against him. And then on top of that, the cherry on top is it's 6 tokens. It was just to see the life get sucked out of him was so amazing. And he just had some amazing quotes, like, I don't know why extortion isn't illegal here. The price of milk just went up. The guy is just incredible.
It's criminal code 2C something. It's what it is. And kudos to both Tony, first of all, for reacting the way he did, but also to the to whoever wrote that extortion note, because it was just put together perfectly, where Tony just gets more and more excited, like you said, and then right at the end, it's like they get him at the end, and it's just like, oh, that poor guy. But he doesn't, like, so many Survivor contestants would just stew on that, and he just goes to work immediately. And I love he goes to Michelle, and I love the conversation that he has with Michelle, because Michelle has no tokens.
Me too.
And she comes up with this great lie. I love her lie.
Brilliant lie.
4-token Edge of Extinction return advantage. It's the only thing that it makes sense. It's the kind of nonsense that would possibly be in the game. And Tony buys it. Tony buys it, and he can't believe that, like, oh my goodness, I have to pay 6. She had to pay 4. Like, all of a sudden, everyone wants all these tokens.
It's a great lie because it has a little bit of truth behind it. And to be honest, I forgot about Michelle's thing. I was like, why is Michelle telling him the actual advantage and stuff? And I was like, oh, wait, that's not it and stuff.
She's
so
got it. She's
it was
got
really
it.
Good.
I was really waiting for this moment because, like, I felt like this moment at some point would come up where someone's got absolutely no tokens and someone's coming for them in a desperate need of a token.
I was waiting for this too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was wondering if it was more like people come together to buy something, but the what you can buy just doesn't give you enough of an advantage. So this was great. And for him to just to convince people, like you said, that are going against each other, that aren't even working with them, that he's playing both sides and stuff, it's just brilliant. Especially Jeremy. Like,
he was
angry at Jeremy before. Jeremy, for some reason, trusts him and stuff. And he's just going to trust him more after this. Like, Tony's really setting himself up well, if he obviously can get to the end. But all he has to do, say he gets to the final 3, if it's final 2, just submit this episode to the jury. Don't even say anything.
Yeah, yeah. In fact, Tony gets has it so good with Jeremy that not only does Jeremy give Tony a token, but Jeremy says that he probably would have given Tony 2 if he could have you know, if it wouldn't have bankrupted him.
Yep.
Which is, I mean, and then straight to Nick and to Ben. Ben, I'm absolutely shocked. And
I do wonder if he asked anybody else, because the way that they set it up is he asked the perfect people. Because if he asked Kim, this whole plan just crumbles and stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's, you know, he is picking, I guess, the people that he is working the best with. Aside from Sarah, he does not go to Sarah, which I think is interesting. You know, maybe he did. Maybe
because he knows that she would go to Sophie. It was really interesting.
And that's part of why this is so brilliant of a move by Tony. You know, it's such a big, dramatic, high visibility move, but if Sophie stays in the game, like, the reason why we thought she would win the game is because she had so many social connections. She was tied to Sarah, and she was tied with Kim. I mean, we see that she's tied with, because she gave Kim a token here.
Ben would have voted for her too. I'm sure Adam would have voted for her.
Yeah. So I have a question here.
I have a question too, but you go ahead.
Okay, I'll give you my question first, and then you can follow up with yours. But so with all these people giving Tony tokens, do you think that helps? Like, is that a good game move for everybody? Like, I think there's, like, something to be said. I mean, aside from, like, you're getting played by Tony, but, like, don't. Like, wouldn't a good business relationship, like, build a good game relationship, you know? Especially if you're getting paid back. Like, we don't know who got paid back, but someone's getting paid back.
Yeah, I totally get that. And, you know, it just buys you that trust. And it feels like this is kind of the new alliance, where if I came up to you and said, hey, let's start an alliance, and you told me no, I'd be instantly suspecting you. And if somebody said no to him, I think it's the same thing.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, it's a great he is so good at convincing these people. And I love that he, like, takes this note and, like, just the way he presents it, like, it's almost like Tony's having fun with it. And he, like, wants you to, like, join him and have fun with him too.
And another thing I thought was really interesting was that these people could have taken this information, went to everybody and be like, all right, this is a threat. Let's just get rid of Tony. Obviously, if no one gives him anything, he can't play and he can't vote. This is the easiest thing in the world.
Nobody did that. Yes, that is absolutely amazing. And I'm glad you brought that up, because this should make him a bigger target. Like, he's absolutely, he would be so vulnerable. He couldn't win immunity. He couldn't protect himself. He couldn't even vote. So, like, what's he going to do? Like, the entire reason why this episode works out for him in the end is because he has all this power, like a crazy amount of power, so he can go crazy, but without any of the power anyway.
Yeah.
So thrilled to see, just so thrilled to see everything coming out of Tony here. So I think that's a, and we did mention that Sophie.
All right, you want to hear my question real quick?
Yes, yes.
What made Tony decide to flip the vote? He was on board to get out Jeremy. Was it because he heard they're going to split 4-2, or was this a plan he always had?
I think that's a good question. That's a good question. I think Tony is probably the kind of guy who is always, like he said, he's always running plans, right? So he probably had like 20 different plans going on in his head, like before the challenge even happened, right? And I think that, like, right here, like, this is something that Tony did before, right? Like, he's kind of pulled this move before where the vote's going one way and he convinces his woo to go a different way. I think everything just kind of aligned for him in the right way. And he made that strategic decision that, like, the thing he really cares about is having these lions in the game, right? That this is his opportunity to take out a hyena because... for sure, if he doesn't, the hyenas are going to take out a lion, right?
Yeah. And he just did everything so perfectly. He picked the right people to ask for the fire tokens. He picked the right person to target. She had an idol in her freaking pocket. She was, like we said, she was set up to cakewalk to the end of this game the way she was playing and stuff. So it's just a perfect, perfect play in all aspects from Tony.
Yeah, and it really, and we haven't even really talked about the beginning of the episode where he finds a hidden immunity idol. Obviously, didn't use it in this particular episode, but I would counter to say that, like, if he doesn't start off with the immunity idol, then who knows where all the rest of this could have gone?
Yep.
Because he had to make a big play when he was being extorted, but the reason why he could. Aside from the fact that he had to, is because he had some kind of safety net there, knowing, like, okay, so if something goes wrong, like, I've at least got something going on, so, like, why not go for it? And then going after Sophie, again, like, he's making a big move, it might make him more of a target, but he's got that little bit of safety, and I think that's why the crazy Tony comes out, like...
Oh, absolutely.
Tony got his bag of tricks.
He had the double, confidence booster in having... winning the immunity challenge and having the immunity idol. So I definitely think that's what did it. And I really just love that his brain is moving so fast that I don't think he sleeps. Like, you just start with him just staring, it's what, 4 a.m, 5 a.m or whatever. I just don't think he sleeps. And I was so happy that it's like the little voice in his head finally took over and he's like, we're doing this.
Yeah. Yeah, it absolutely. And let's talk a little bit about the rest of the Tony extravaganza here, because it was a very impressive win by Tony here in the immunity challenge. And I mean, Kim notes that this is making Tony a little bit of a bigger target here, or maybe not so little bit of a bigger target. But he still really comes through. So it's a 3-part challenge, right? You got to balance on a beam. You got to hold up the statue on a with a pole, basically. And then at some point you need to make a transition. And it looks like the transition's super hard because, like, just like looking at Denise, like the way like she was shaking, like that is,
yeah, that
is
pole,
not easy.
That pole is like 3 times her size and stuff. Like, that's tough, especially when you're balancing and everything. And like, you even saw Tony, who won, he was in trouble like the whole time.
I was really concerned for Jeremy when Jeremy, it was down to Tony and Jeremy at the very last second. Jeremy just kind of like, it looks like he just like kind of stumbles off. It's like almost like an Alec moment where it's just like
I thought it was really weird that he dropped like right after Ben. I thought that was just really, really weird. Like, is that something where... like, if I didn't know that Jeremy was on the block, I'd think Jeremy and Tony, like, if I'm in the stands of eliminated people, I'd be like, are Tony and Jeremy actually working together? Because he fell so, like, directly after. I thought it was a little weird.
I do get the feeling, based on what I saw, that, like, Jeremy really did want to win it, and that was, like, a legitimate, like, he really did look like he was out of it. The way he was stumbling and his facial expressions and everything. Yeah, it was just, it's just, I don't know, man. It's got to take so much out of you. And I think there were some people there who were suspicious about what happened there. I think so, because it was,
you have
the timing
to be, especially when
so dead on.
Exactly. And you're always suspicious. You're always paranoid. So if there's even, like, one little thing, and that could be misconstrued as a very obvious thing, That has to get on everyone's radar.
But at the same time, it's hard to believe that Jeremy would be the kind of guy who would say no
to just give up
this time. Yeah.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah.
So,
that's why that would be in my back of my head too. It's like, oh, that's what they want me to think. This is such a good play. Like, I can just see the paranoia just like growing and stuff. But I gotta say, like, after Tony won this one, you just knew at that point it was Tony's episode and he could do no wrong. Like, he won a patience immunity challenge. Get the F out of here. Like, that's not something that Tony would do. And he gets the two fire tokens back. It's unbelievable.
So I when I heard about the fire tokens, I did have a moment where I said, like, okay, like, obviously winning immunity here would be great for Tony, but it's got to land him in some hot water there because he's got three people that he needs to repay. He's playing both sides against each other. And now he has to pick a side because now he's got the money to pick a side. And I'm disappointed that we didn't see that. Like, I didn't see it as a scene. Because it feels like it could have such a great impact on what happened. But I don't know. You presume that he did pay back somebody. I would guess Jeremy. If Tony doesn't pay back Jeremy, if Jeremy is the person Tony stiffs, then Jeremy's going to have a hard time going with Tony when it comes to the vote, right?
Exactly my thought process. I wanted to see how he was going to do that, pay him back and everything. And it just, you had to give one to Jeremy, you have to give one to the other side, and then trust the one person that you think you can trust, be like, hey, I got you again next time or something, I had to do this thing or whatever. But that's a huge strategic thing because there's two versus three. So I really wanted to see that.
I'm guessing the other person would probably be Nick, if only because they were together as well. But Ben is also the kind of person that I would not want to stiff on alone. I would be much more willing to stiff Nick on alone.
Nick is just the most easygoing and stuff too. He could be like, oh yeah, totally. Yeah. Just get me next time.
Yeah. And I definitely would want to cross Jeremy at all.
No.
He would just stare at me and that would be the end of that. So that's where things said. Again, we can't do the full token breakdown. Sarah and Kim do pick up an extra token. I did think it was fun watching the little Tony's tally change at the bottom of the screen. With each token that he picked up. That was good.
It was a nice little touch.
All right, so we have been going for a while here, Lance, but we still have a lot to talk about, actually. I really want to talk to you about figuring out who can win now, because we were so all in, at least I was, on Sophie winning the game. Assuming Sophie does not win the game now, I want to know who wins. I want to talk about the Sarah's fashion show. And, of course, Lance, I am very curious if you learned anything by watching TV this week. And we're going to find out all of that right after this.
The chilling new original docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean in a woman named Sylvie.
She's a can model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control Alt Desire. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
Okay, Lance, we are back, and we're back with a few more of the. I want to talk about a few of the fun little moments that happened in the episode, and we can't not talk about Sarah's fashion show. What did you think of that? This little aside we had here.
I thought it was a nice little touch. We haven't gotten a lot of like lighthearted moments just because the game is so crazy and there's so much going on and stuff. But I looked at it a little different way. This felt like a setup. Say Tony gets to the end. This is a jury management scene. Mm-hmm. This is a Sarah versus Tony scene where they're foreshadowing that Tony would lose in a vote because he's not doing the jury management thing. And if Sarah does get to the end, she has all these people that like her and stuff. So I thought that's kind of what I took that as. And then I secondary thought, Michelle should be a model. She's got that walk down.
Yeah,
pat. It was pretty impressive.
That was for sure one of my notes here. And I don't want to, not to take anything away from Kim, because Kim had a really strong runway performance as well. But Michelle was working it. Like, she knew what to do. Like, she was swinging around that tree. She was throwing that jacket over her back. She had it going on. She is.
Yeah, you have to have the walk, but you also have to have the swagger and stuff. Obviously, I have never modeled, so I don't really know that well. But I watched Top Model once, so I get it.
Yeah. No, Michelle, you can see why Michelle won with The Social Game here. Like she is she is just a lot of fun in these moments that we get to see her.
And it's also great to see Sarah more lighthearted, too. She was actually, like, you get to see that part of her personality that you don't usually see, which is really cool, you know, seeing Sarah actually joke around and stuff, because it's a rarity. So I like that part too.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun there. The line I used to open us up here this afternoon when I was talking about you know, that she's funny and she's pretty and she's smart, but she's really creative too. And you know, she just had a lot of fun. And I think you're 100% right when you said that this was about jury management. Because we do see a lot of Tony just like, no, I don't want to do it. Like, I'm not doing it. Like, I'm going over here. And Sarah's like having fun and involving everybody. And it really, like, I almost got like shades of Dean, DK Chillin.
Yeah.
Like towards the end where like you're expecting, like, there's no way Dean's making it to the end of this game. There's no way Tony's making it to the end of this game. And then all of a sudden they're both there. But at the same time, all of a sudden you start getting like, this guy's got a terrible social game, doesn't he? And that's what I'm worried about that for Tony. I'm just worried that, like,
100%.
Someone's going to be more appealing socially next to him, and even though he's made some big crazy moves, that person's still going to win.
I do want to say though that since they're all winners and they all haven't played the cleanest games in their wins and stuff, maybe they do respect someone who just purely plays the game. But to kind of counteract what I just said, there have been other seasons that have been all returning players, and we still get that bitter jury. So you really don't know.
It's good that you contradicted yourself immediately. That's always good.
I would debate myself.
Yeah, I'm sure. And you'd win every time, right?
One of us would. I'd lose every time, too.
That's true. That is true. All right. So I want to talk about so Sophie. I was convinced that Sophie would win. Assuming she does not here, she very well could. Like, there's no reason why she can't get back in the game. There's no reason why she can't win after she gets back in the game. She's got a lot of friends there. This is kind of like a Tony bounced her out of the game with a little bit of trickery here. But what about everybody else in the game? I kind of want to run down the list here, and I want you to tell me, Lance, what do you think their chances are of winning this game? Like, are they legit contenders, and what do you think their chances are? So
what we'll play a segment called Contender or Pretender, and I will let you know either one.
I love it. I love it. Okay, so let's start with the man of the hour here, Tony. Let's just get it out of the way. What do you think about this?
He's a contender. Do I think he's going to win? Probably not, unless he wins out or finds a second immunity idol. But he is has to be the favorite right now. He has the resume. He's got the power. But he's the biggest target. But he's a contender.
Yeah. Oh, 100% for sure. You know, Tony is finally out and swinging. I love it. I do think he's going to fall a little bit short here. And potentially, if he does make it to that final tribal council, especially if he's sitting next to Sarah, I think Sarah's going to beat him, even with the flashy move. I just based on her connections with Kim and Michelle and all the other players in the game, I think she's just got a little bit of a better connection with. I think Tony can be a little bit off-putting. And I think you also, like I said, like that DK Chillin side, but like when you see Tony out there, Tony's working with guys. Tony's working with Nick.
Yeah.
Tony's working with Jeremy. DK Chillin did not work with Janet. DK Chillin did not even talk to Janet. DK Chillin
wanted
to work with the guys, and he had a strategy that he was going to win over slightly less than half a jury by talking to only slightly less than half the jury.
Yeah, the one thing I will say for Tony is he does seem to be working with Michelle and then obviously Sarah, but it is a majority of men for sure.
I think we already talked about it a little bit, but we may as well talk about his partner in crime here, Sarah. What do you think about her?
I'm going to go contender for Sarah, but it's right now it's really borderline for me. I'm really interested to see what she does coming off the Sony or the Sophie thing. So I'm going to put her in like on the fence, but leaning towards contender.
I think she is a solid contender for sure. I don't think Tony is interested in trying to target her and get rid of her. She may be interested in doing that to Tony. I don't know. I think her game is a little bit weaker now. just in the sense that you know, that the game has kind of swung against her, where there's different people in the majority that necessarily than her. But I don't know. Like, I really think that of all the people that are there, she has one of the strongest chances to win, I think. I might even put her at the top of my list right now. I think if anyone
I think Tony turns on her. I think he wants to work with her, but then realizes one of them's gonna have to turn on each other. It would be really fun to see Sarah turn on him, as much as we love Tony.
That would be fun. That would be fun. But I think it's very possible that we wind up with both of them in the final. I think that is possible too. Final four, fire making and the edge of extinction, it makes it all wonky. It's tough to say for sure. All right. So what about Kim? What do we think about Kim? I know you were high on her chances
a few weeks
ago. What about now?
As bad as her flip was and everything, I'm putting her as a contender. She just seems to kind of survive and stuff and to get by. And people do like her. She has a lot of friends on Edge of Extinction on the jury and stuff. And I just feel like she's made some missteps, but I feel like she's just really close to making like a really good move and being in a good spot. So I'm putting her in the contender spot.
I agree with you. And I think that, like you said, that she is kind of in that minority position where she's had a bunch of votes go against her. But it does feel like she is the leader of the minority. Whenever that group kind of gets together, that she is kind of the force. She's the smarts. She's the strategy. She was out there with an idol. It didn't work, but like, I think you got to give her respect for trying to play the game, you know? Like, that's a,
absolutely.
Even though the move doesn't work, it's still a move, and it's still a respectable move. I think if anybody on the minority side of these votes can win, I think it's Kim. I think it's Kim.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right. So what about Michelle? What do you think about Michelle's chances?
I've gone contender every single time. I'm going to go pretender for Michelle, and it kind of hurts me to say that. I just don't see how she can – I can see her getting to the end. I just don't see her winning. I know her social is the way she goes and everything, and she could totally, you know, do a repeat of her season and stuff, but I just don't think she's got the resume and everything right now.
Yeah, I think we've been kind of saying that Michelle, like all season long, that Michelle's the type of person who's going to make it super far, but just kind of come short, and that's going to make her the person that we all kind of wish won at the end, kind of. I think I'm with you. That things kind of are turning against her a little bit. She's less of a part of the story. She's less of a part of what's going on and what's happening. She's being brought along for the ride, and she's. I don't know. It just doesn't seem like we got an awful lot of top tier play from Michelle, even though that she's on the bottom. Not that she's doing badly. I just don't see what she's doing to wind up a winner at the end.
Exactly. And it's not a good look when they have a scene of you saying, I have no idea what's going on.
Not great, right? Not great.
Not great.
Okay. How about Denise? What do we think about Denise's chances?
Denise? Underrated contender, definitely a contender. She feels like one of those people that all these heavyweights are going after each other. She has a little bit of a resume, and if she makes it to the end, I can really, really see her winning. So a contender for me.
I love Denise. The thing that makes me worried about Denise is that I feel like a lot of players here, like Kim, I feel like has a lot of social connections with players, and Tony has a lot of social connections with players, and Sarah does. But I feel like Denise is kind of almost on an island on her own. Where, you know, people are talking like, is Denise close with this person? And the answer is no. You know, is Denise close with Adam? Well, not as much as she used to be, apparently. Denise really,
that's a great point.
I feel like that's, you know, she's going to be able to maybe stick around because of that and be able to participate as a swing vote in a lot of places. And she may have an easier route to the end because of that. But I think it's going to be, she's got that big move against Sandra, but unless she comes up with some other really killer move at like 6 or 5 or like if there are more fireworks from Denise, it's totally possible, but like not right now. She's got to put in work.
Yep, I'm with you.
All right, so let's finish up the guys here. What do you think about Ben?
Ben is a pretender. I think we've hinted at that this whole time. It's just nobody really likes him. Does he have a vote or anything? Like, he could be one of those guys you just take to the end because you know he's not going to get a vote. He hasn't really done much. He's kind of done a really good job of being in the right alliance and just on the right side of the numbers and stuff, but he hasn't really done anything for me.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that he would be tough for him to win a jury vote against most of these people. You know, it's hard to say that he was the driving force behind anything, and it's hard to say that socially people are really enamored with him. It just doesn't seem like he's got a does not seem like he's got an awful lot. But you know, he's also, I feel like he's also very unlikely to make it to the end anyway, despite the fact that he might be the perfect goat, just because he is an alpha male. And there are a number of other alpha males out there, and these alpha males do not like each other, and it just seems really unlikely it's gonna happen.
Especially because Jeremy's already pitching that Ben's the biggest physical threat when he's not.
What? The one alpha male doesn't like the other one? What? Are you telling?
Yeah.
They're gonna clash? What a surprise!
Never.
What a surprise. So let's talk about the other half there. Jeremy, what do we think about Jeremy's chances?
I want to say pretender, but it's just there's so much stacked against him that I could definitely see him making it to the end, but he just needs like the perfect storm where people keep going after Tony and Tony plays an idol and stuff and like someone else gets taken out. But I just don't see Jeremy being able to make it to the end. So I'm going to go pretender. What do you think?
So you're going pretender. I love Jeremy, and you know, he is playing hard, but he is just not in control. And it's impressive if he gets to the end, but just getting to the end isn't enough. And I don't know, man. He's got to, like I said, like if Denise does something at the end, you know, Jeremy could sure do something at the end too. But he has to do a complete and total 180 of the game. Like, he really has to completely and totally change the game dynamic. And I don't know if he is going to be able to do that.
He's just in survival mode, which is great. And you can definitely create a story around that. And he uses advantage, right, and all that stuff. But it's just, I just don't see him getting there.
Yeah. Finally, and last but not least, or perhaps least, we'll get your take on that. Nick, evil vampire Donathan, can he win?
Big time pretender.
I think
we love Nick, but he's a pretender.
He would be the 100-to-1 shot, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
That's the one where you put down a $5 bet in Las Vegas and hope that if he wins, you get a new home.
The Hail Mary.
Get enough to pay off all your student loans.
Yeah. It's like when I walk into the casino and I put 100 on green trying to get that 33-to-1 odds.
All right. And when actually I said last but not least Ben, or pardon, not last but not least Nick, but that actually isn't true because I guess I do have one more for you, Lance. What do you think about the possibility of Chris Underwood winning? Just anyone coming back from the edge right now. There are a whole ton of people. Like when you saw that jury walk in, like that's a train of people. There are a lot of people on that jury. Could any one of them win?
I'm going to go blanket statement contender just because it's just too tough to tell. Like if Boston Rob comes back, I think he's got a strong chance. I think Parvati comes back. Really, really strong chance. Even Yule. So I'm going to say definite contender.
Yeah, I think just because of Chris Underwood, it's hard to say, you know, for sure no one can do it, because that's what you would have said before Chris Underwood did it, and he did it. That is kind of like a, you know, the perfect game of all perfect games. Like if we say Tony had a good episode here tonight, Chris Underwood had a effing fantastic episode when he won. It was like the only episode that season that he was really in, but it was a great episode for him. But I think, unless it's Sophie, like I'm just going to hold on to some hope that I can salvage some face, here, but, probably not. I'm just going to look like an idiot. That's fine. I usually do.
We all do. So it's okay.
So,
this is a safe place. No one ever calls anybody on the internet or anything.
Of course not. I would say that chances are the person who comes back from the edge will not win, especially if it's Tyson. I think Tyson might get voted out a third time.
That'd be impressive.
It's kind of we call that the Aussie, right?
Yeah.
Get voted out,
it'd be funny if he
back,
got
voted out. Come back.
It'd be funny if he got voted out through another advantage, like or like somebody plays an idol or something, and then it goes on Tyson. He just goes out in like all these random different ways. Or he votes for himself again.
Yeah, it could. You never know. You never know. All sorts of ways that can go wrong. All right, Lance.
Yep.
So before we wrap things up here, I've got a question for you, and that's did you learn anything watching this episode, Lance?
I did not. I'm throwing what we learned out the window because this is a special episode. I'm going back to winners and losers.
Okay, let's do it. What do you got?
So obvious winner, Tony. It was just a Michael Jordan-esque performance. Somebody tweeted this out. I forget who it is, so I'm sorry for not crediting you, but this was like when he dropped 63 on the champion Celtics and stuff. It was just, from start to finish, just an all-time performance from Tony. Absolutely amazing. He's the no-doubt winner of the episode.
100%. You know, he may be in trouble a couple weeks from now, but he is looking good today.
Oh, yeah. A couple other winners, Parvati and Natalie. That's an easy one. They get a bunch of coins, fire tokens, and they're looking real strong to come back, especially Parvati. I've hinted that a couple times this episode. And then two more. Jeremy, we talked about this. He played the advantage at the right time. It was perfect. Now he's really under the radar with Tony just becoming the biggest threat in the game.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I love Jeremy. I love where he is at, but he just feels like he's falling into that like classic Survivor character of the person who, oh, you want him to make it all the way to the end and he can just win his way through, but like there are 11 people left to go and he ain't going to do it
times.
Like that's the only
This thing. Is a yeah. This but, isn't a this long-term
week,
winner look,
this week,
you know.
Yeah,
this
no.
week he won.
Yeah, cuz he's still there. He's still there. He shouldn't be there, but he's still there, and that's a win.
He was against the numbers on the chopping block. The person that he was going against had an idol, and he won. So good for him. And then finally, the Survivor producers and editors. It was just coming up with the extortion advantage, amazing. All the editing was just top-notch. This was just an amazing episode for all the production-wise. Obviously, the highlight of the season.
Yeah, yeah. That again, yeah, absolutely fantastic editing job. But they've really been on fire this entire season. Just top notch stuff. I'd say if I had to choose my winner and loser, I'll try to do what we used to do with the old days and stay away from your picks here. My loser, I'll say Denise. Denise is a loser here. Obviously Kim and Denise, they flipped at the wrong time, but Kim has friends and Denise doesn't. That's the difference.
Yep.
And Denise is in a really bad, like Denise is just gonna, it looks like she's in a place where she's just gonna get wiped out of the game with very little pomp and circumstance.
Yeah. Just with a whimper.
Yeah. Also, I gotta say, you know, Sarah looks like a little bit of a loser here. Just because, you know, maybe because what happened this episode shines the light on like how good her position was before here, with Sophie in the game. It's going to be harder with Sophie out of the game. But I think the one thing that she does have going for her here is that Tony will always be a bigger target than she is.
Absolutely.
As long as they are still, you know, maybe they'll be at odds with each other next episode, but, you know, for now it's a loser, but with an asterisk that she didn't lose too badly. The winner, I mean, I it's hard to say anybody, but Tony's the winner here. I mean, come on. It's 100% Tony episode. And I mean, Jeremy too. I'll go with you there.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say Nick. Nick's the winner here because he finally got to clear up that whole evil vampire thing. And we've all finally agreed on how much he does not look like. No, we decided the opposite, right? We decided that he definitely looks like evil vampire. Jonathan.
I just think it was a way for him to talk about like how nice his teeth are and stuff. Like that was just that was like a great like nagging yourself, like humble brag kind of thing.
Yeah. Did he think he shaved it off to make the fangs?
Yeah.
That's great.
It was good.
That's great.
And then you pretty much named all my losers. My only other loser, Ben, just because everyone hates him. And stuff, and so getting the stink eye from Jeremy and stuff. So yeah, and then those are my losers. So we're pretty much on the same page here.
Yeah. I want to say before we move on and wrap things up, I don't know if anyone, if you've had a chance to look at the secret scenes yet on CBS.com.
Yeah, the Sarah and Kim one was amazing.
It's a really good scene. Yeah, and I just wanted to call that out if in case our listeners haven't gone over to CBS All Access to watch it. There's a really good scene where Kim and Sarah, really Sarah's talking about her win in Game Changers and how she felt so guilty and like she's a bad person for doing what she did and that like she had like basically PTSD from like appearing on Survivor. And I think we kind of got a little bit from Tyson too about like just how hard the game was, you know, in this
episode. That's something I wanted to bring up too.
It's great. Like we get just, it's a really honest and great conversation, and it shows you a lot about Kim and Sarah, just who they are as people in the game.
Yeah, winning $1 million doesn't get rid of all your problems, and it gave him a lot of perspective and stuff. And then to go back to what Tyson was saying, it was a great shot because you could just tell Adam is not going to take this well, and there are definitely some people who won't take this well and stuff. And it reminded me of, like, it doesn't really work, but it definitely reminded me of Heroes vs. Villains, where to me Parvati should have beat Sandra, but if Parvati didn't win before, I think that's something that really sticks with you. When you lose in that final vote kind of thing where it's close and maybe you should have won, that's where I feel like it really sticks with you.
Yeah, it's tough when like you're trying to, you know, pick some clips and some film to show you know, how a person is feeling inside without using like a quote from them. Like it's all about like, but it's just like it all, like it just feels so like you can just like, I don't know, man. It's got to be so hard out there. It's got to be really hard, especially for someone like at who I'm sure went into the game thinking like he is gonna nail this. Like he had so many strategies going in, and he found that idol that Jeff Probst had in his.
Well, go ahead.
He just had it all, and to go out the way he did, and I mean, I think it's tough. It's tough.
It's a legacy thing to me. Like, it's kind of like a sports legend at the end kind of thing, where it's like, do I keep playing? But this, for some people, it's playing again and playing multiple times solidifies your legend. And some people, it's like, wait, how did this person win? Oh, wait, is this person actually overrated? Are they actually good and stuff? So it's a definite risk to come out here, especially as a one-time winner or a one-time player, and to potentially ruin your legacy, which is something that I think Adam really cares about.
Yeah, I will say though, if I am a, you know, if I'm a contestant on Survivor, being the fan that I am, and if I tried something big, and it worked out really bad, and I looked really dumb, and I became the next Eric Reichenbach, right, where Jeff just can't stop showing clips of the stupid thing that I did, I would be embarrassed, yes, but at the same time, there's just something really cool about that. Like, even though you did something dumb, you're still a Survivor legend for that. And not just for that, you're still a winner of a season. It's just like...
Yeah, it's definitely a case-by-case basis where it's like, all right, you tried to make a move, it didn't work out. That's, you know, you have some onions and you're doing that. I respect that. But it's really like the dumb stuff where it's like, all right, you screwed up like 4 different times and amateur stuff.
I'll just say, for example, I will say I think it's a much better look for Adam than for some other past winners who did stupid things, like JT, the last JT went out of the game in Game Changers. Not the best look for JT. Not the best look.
Yep, which is, JT, that's, man.
Yeah.
Give it away.
Yeah, I think that's a good place to end it. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Lance. Hey, I had a great time talking Survivor with you here today. I hope everybody listening had a great time too, or at least an acceptable time. You know, we'll shoot for acceptable.
As long as it wasn't a bad time.
Yeah, exactly. So if you had an okay to decent time, maybe even a satisfactory time, please consider subscribing to the Survivor Brothers on your favorite podcasting app. We're on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher. Basically, anywhere you can find good podcasts, you'll find ours because we snuck it in there. If you really like the show and you haven't done so yet, Lance and I would absolutely adore it if you would leave us a review. 5 stars.
5 star.
5 stars only, please, or else our fashion show gets canceled. And
I walk like Michelle.
We got some hot looks for fall. you know?
Yeah, I made you a skirt.
Yep. That's going to look so fantastic. Can't wait to wear it, and we'll figure out when that is at a later date. All right, everybody. Listen, I hope you had a great time. We did too. I hope to see you back here next time. This is Survivor Brothers signing off. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye.
The wait is over. The Chi returns with new episodes on Paramount Plus.
What brings you to the show?
Opportunity.
Everybody get down! Walk right up to
the side. A new rain is coming to the South Side.
Never should have sent a boy to do a woman's job.
The Chi. New episodes now streaming. Visit ParamountPlus.com/The Chi to get a 50% discount off the Paramount Plus with the Showtime annual plan. Offer ends July 14th. The subscription auto renews. Restrictions apply.